Bob Rivers in the morning.
And the greatest hits of all time.
KJRFM Seattle.
Oldies 95.7.
It's time to sing out and tell the world about John and Kate plus 8. You won't believe your eyes between the laughs and cries.
John and Kate plus 8 theme. Here's Jody.
56-year-old William Blankenship is making a black mark on TLC. He's just been arrested for possessing child pornography, and that's really bad. But what he did for a living makes it even grosser. Blankenship, he was an editor for John and Kate Plus 8, Kate Plus 8, as well as Table for 12 and 17 and Counting, which are two spinoffs from the Duggar family, you know, the people who've got like 100 kids and
19, I think.
Yeah, 19. Yeah. They have all these other spinoff shows. Oh. So he basically was an editor for all these TV shows with kids. Now, let me be clear. He didn't work for TLC. He worked for a company that they contracted to do the editing. And he also never came in contact with any of the kids because he was just an editor, but still so gross. He was charged with 10 counts of sex exploit of a minor. He had a lot of photos.
What did he do? Just photos?
Yeah.
He didn't actually have interactions with minors, did he?
No, he just had photos and videos.
And so it makes it worse to you that he was just editing children just because of his sick brain.
Yes.
Okay.
Editing the shows that we all watched and...
I didn't watch any of them, but
we all did, including you. Yeah.
Was there footage of these TLC shows and among his inappropriate picture
doesn't
collection?
It doesn't say. But there probably wouldn't be because, I mean, you know, I guess you could use your imagination, but there wasn't anything inappropriate on any of those shows.
Well, freaky's in the mind of the beholder.
Yeah. No, he had the real stuff.
How'd they catch him?
Good question. It doesn't say.
Don't tell anybody if you know.
Yeah. I will not. Gross in the news today.
There you go.
Something better regarding TV shows. Were you a fan of In Living Color? Remember In Living Color?
Sure, the Wayans brothers. Yeah.
Jim Carrey got his start on that, I think.
That's right. It wasn't around for that long. 1990 to 1994 aired on Fox. Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx, Jennifer Lopez, a lot of people starred there. And it's coming back. They're reviving it, In Living Color, with Keenan Ivory Wayans. He created the show over 20 years ago.
Didn't he quit famously or get tired of it or something? Or am I thinking of another cable guy who just sort of walked off?
Dave Chappelle walked away.
That's what I'm thinking of.
But the Wayans, he kind of turned it over to his siblings and they kind of drove it off a cliff. So for him to go back and say, this is the show I created and I like to just, you know, revamp it and do it again and give it the same power.
Fresh young talent. They may find some new people. Another show that a lot of people may want to check out tonight. They've been killing this thing with the promos. Rock Center with Brian Williams premieres tonight 10 to 11 on NBC. He's the host. It's a news magazine show. I don't know exactly what he's going to be doing, but set your TBR. Faux Amy Winehouse is gone. Fans will still get to hear some new music from her, very Tupac style. Amy Winehouse Lioness Hidden Treasures will be released on December 5th. Part of the proceeds will go to the Amy Winehouse Foundation. One song was recorded when she was on heroin, and I guess that's the one that they're going to be pushing out first. Mm. Yeah.
So, only one.
Yeah, and we haven't heard anything yet, but believe me, as soon as Pedro finds it, we'll hear it.
Okay. Thank you, Pedro. Andrew Hilton is on the phone. He's the director of CSFI, a London-based think tank, and he's an economist. Has been at the World Bank in Washington. He's run a financial advisory service. He was very interesting. We talked to him last about the European debt crisis. As many of you know, the stock market went rocketing to the moon on Friday
Thursday was the best. Last week was good, though.
It was, and October has been one of the biggest Octobers since, like, the 80s, and many people think that the European debt crisis may be over. I did a lot of reading this weekend, and I saw several articles. One of them said the top five things you need to know about the European debt crisis, and number one was, it is not over. So we thought we'd bring back on Andrew Hilton. Andrew, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hi. Good to be on it.
All right. Did Europe kick the can down the road as we did with our debt ceiling? And has anything fundamentally changed except that people on Wall Street make more money on volatility?
I think you're right. I mean, we've kicked the can down the road. We haven't kicked it as far as anybody seems to think we have. And we certainly haven't kicked it off the road. It's on the road, It gives us a little bit more time. But the markets, which were way high, as you say, on Thursday, came off on Friday a bit, and they've come off again today. People are having second thoughts, and rightly they're having second thoughts.
Well, in my experience, and I'm nowhere near the scholar you are. In fact, I'm nowhere near even saying nowhere near. But
you're probably richer than I am.
We'll talk. Anyway, in my experience, what happens is, because it's all about confidence, what happens is if something big fails, if Italy fails, because Greek we've already figured is going to fail or be just miserable for a long, long time. If some large bank suddenly goes under, like Lehman, if something like that happens, then you're going to have a crash, and nothing has changed that, correct?
Correct. Correct. Italy is bigger than anybody can cope with. If Italy goes, then the European idea goes. The euro itself obviously goes. We're back in a sort of, a crisis that probably we haven't seen since the 1930s, but that's if Italy goes. Italy is a...
Hold on, I'm going to interrupt you. A crisis that we haven't seen since 2008. Well, I thought you were going to say 2008. What happened to 2008?
No, since the 1930s.
I mean, worse?
It could be bigger. It really would be bigger. Yeah.
Wow.
Italy is a major, major industrial economy. It's, it's the sixth or seventh biggest economy in the world. It's a sophisticated 21st century economy. This is not a third world country.
But you know, here in the U.S., we think we're the biggest thing. So it's hard for you to imagine anything bigger, us to imagine anything bigger than Texas or our own financial screw-ups with our mortgage industry. This could be bigger.
Italian economy is about the size of California. So if California turns its toes up, that gives you a sense of how big the Italian crisis would be. It would take the European idea with it, I think. And you've got to keep saying but, because the Italian economy is not as bad as people say it is. There are a lot of people going around saying Italian debt is insuperable. The Italians have more debt, than the average person has hot breakfasts. It's not quite that like that, because the Italians also have huge private savings. Every Italian has money stashed under the bed, basically. The question is, how do you get those private savings to offset the public debt? It's very difficult.
Andrew, I keep hearing the term that we just kicked the can down the street. They talked about it here in America. They're talking about that now with Europe. Is there a viable option besides kicking the can down the road? I mean, can you shut something down or let something fail? Is that even a realistic option?
Well, yes, there are people who think it is. There are people who say, look, you cannot solve the European problem without dismantling the Eurozone, without getting rid of Greece, because after all, it's not just a question of Greek debt. The real fundamental problem in Europe is that Greece has lost one-third of its competitiveness vis-a-vis Germany since the euro was set up. And unless you're going to cut Greek salaries and everything else in Greece effectively by one-third, you're not going to be able to solve the problem of Europe, because that's fundamental. It's an economic divergence between the north and the south that you can't finesse your way out.
Andrew, let me ask a dumb question, because you do a good job putting these things in simple terms. Why did Europe go with the euro? Why did they go with this currency? Were they jealous of the United States and the clout we had as a larger area? Was it envy?
Well, I suppose in some sense, it seemed like a good idea at the time. But remember, the Brits didn't go with it. The Swedes didn't go with it. The Danes didn't go with it. People with common sense didn't go with it. It had a superficial appeal, and it was in a sense going to bind the German and French economies together. The Germans figured that, it got them off the hook for wartime guilt. The French figured that they were going to run it, so it would be in their interests. And it was really those two countries that put it together.
Total mistake, it sounds like. Joe, go ahead.
Going back to the agreement they announced yesterday that sent our U.S. stock market soaring, it sounded like they were going to let Greece pay 50 cents on the dollar, and then I read something about in regards to Italy that they were going to set up a over $1 trillion fund just in case they needed it to help Italy. Is that what they did?
Well, there are lots of the expression in Europe these days is pillars. There are lots of pillars to this agreement. One of the pillars is that the
Did you say pillows? Because it sounded
pillars,
like pillows.
As in, you know, Corinthian, Doric, and Ionian.
Got it.
Hold it up type things.
But I
yeah.
think they're as strong as pillows, just, yeah. just for the record.
Yeah. Well, what the euro probably needs is a pillow over its face. But anyway, what it's got instead is three pillars holding it up. And one of those pillars is the fact that the banks that lent to Greece, voluntarily lent to Greece, and made quite a lot of money out of doing so, are supposed to take a 50% hit. In return for that, they get a kind of, you know, a 100% guarantee of what's left coming from the Eurozone as a whole. So that's the first pillar. There's another pillar that says that we will expand this rescue facility, our equivalent, I suppose, of the TARP, from 440 billion euros to a trillion euros, which we hope will be enough to cope with any crisis that comes down the road. It'll cope with the failure of Greece, maybe, but it sure as hell won't cope with the failure of Italy. Italy requires a lot more than that. So the Italians are still a problem too big for any of the facilities to cope with.
Andrew Hilton, thank you very much from London. We appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure.
Jody has breaking news.
Breaking news brought to you by Relativity Media's Immortals. Kim Kardashian's filing for divorce.
Wow.
This is
Wait a minute. You shut down international monetary explanations for Kim Kardashian's.
After 72 days of marriage to Chris Humphries, he's an NBA player. They're filing for divorce. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Can you even believe it, Bob?
Yes.
Can you seriously believe? Check this out. Here's the information that you're going to need to move on with your day.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
They got married on August 20th, and the wedding cost $10 million. So that means that they paid $138,888 for every day of marriage.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's
Goofy.
That's goofy. What's goofy is giving up your whole life for reality TV.
Yeah.
Marriage, divorce, all this stuff just to...
Well, they spent that much on the wedding so they could film it and sell it for more than they've invested. I mean, if nothing else, they got a pretty good business sense about this clan of Kardashian.
Of course. They're worth $1 billion now.
I still give them credit. They lasted longer than Cher and Greg Allman. I mean, you know.
That's because nobody was filming that crap. I'd have paid money to watch that train wreck.
Hey, listen, I don't watch their show, and I despise them. But while you think that we, the people who do not care about them, are in the minority, I don't know. I mean, 10 million people watched her get married.
That's right.
And they continue to watch and repeat. Kris Jenner has a book coming out right now where she talks about OJ and Nicole Simpson. They were really good friends and all this stuff. I mean, the books, the diet pills, the stores, the TV shows, billion-dollar family, and it's not done.
Is this a financial hardship for her, or does this just add to her legend and make her more of a popcorn fantasy for people?
Oh, popcorn fantasy. Yeah. Don't worry. She had a prenup. She's worth more than he is.
Yeah.
Five, ten times over.
This will be a moneymaker, the divorce. Her being the victim of a bad marriage will make a million.
Yeah, I don't follow this, but I feel sorry for this guy because, one, he's out of a job. The NBA's on strike. Two, he got Bernie Madoff. I don't know. That's in the financial papers, not in the gossip columns, but... He
had invested in Bernie.
No, a guy
somebody
just
like
him who took him for most of his money, and that's probably... Yeah, funny, the divorce comes right after. Well, you have no job, you got cheated out of your money, what am I doing with you? I'd go find another NBA player.
Funny, the divorce comes, too, right on top of Kim and Courtney take New York. Hmm. That's about to start.
Is Kim Kardashian attractive?
Yes.
Your opinion, really?
It's not my cup of tea, but there's no denying she's an attractive woman.
Okay.
I'm looking at a picture of her. She's busty. I mean,
that's all you need is a bust.
Yeah, I mean, she looks good.
Something to dig into, bury your face in.
Well,
that's good enough.
Lava knockers.
No, I would never.
But she got back. She got a lot of guys find that attractive. She's got a huge.
I'm looking at a front picture, so I can't comment.
Well, the problem
I
is.
I haven't analyzed her that closely, to be
you
honest.
You know, the problem is she's such a store-bought look. I mean, that's got more.
Yeah,
and it's got more paint and Bondo on it than a 74 Chevy van.
All right. I was looking at the tabloids yesterday as I checked out. I bought some salad dressing. my wife gives me a coupon. Stores actually give you coupons to get stuff for free.
Yeah.
I can never understand free. You have to buy $10 worth of groceries, and then they give you a bottle of salad dressing. So Lisa said, it's expiring. You have to go down there now. And so I go. And I also had a shoe coupon yesterday, so I had to get shoes. Do you like my new shoes?
Let's see.
You didn't notice them. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Let's take a look. Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are nice.
Either Skechers or Dockers. Those are the two kinds.
Good shoes.
Like very Northwesty.
Yeah.
But anyway, and the shoes were 30% off.
All right.
But they gave you a string of coupons that said 30% off. And if you got enough of your family and friends to use the 30% off, they would send you a certificate for 50% off something.
Huh.
And so why? Lisa's, you know, she's an extreme couponer. She gets all excited about this stuff and sends me instead of doing it herself.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes sense because my feet and hers are not even close to the same size. Anyway, I'm in line at the checkout. Oh, first I gave coupons out because I'm a kind person. Mm-hmm. After I used my 30% coupon, I started walking around the store saying, hey, would you like 30% off? And I met this couple, a mixed race couple. They were like, yeah. And he was like, rawr, rawr. And so I gave him the coupon. And then I said, you have to pay it forward.
Right.
Because here's five of the coupons. You have to give one to someone else, and you have to tell them to give one. Because I was figuring that if I did like my wife does, which is make everybody else do whatever she wants them to do,
sure, sure,
that all the coupons would give it out, and then she'd get a coupon in the mail.
Nice.
I love Lisa.
I do, too.
I do. She's hysterical.
And me, too, don't you?
Yeah, you're hysterical, too.
Cool. Yes, you're cool.
So we're talking Kardashian.
Well,
that's
then
how
I
we
have
got
to.
Here.
I'm getting there. Yeah. Then I have to go for the free salad dressing. And for the salad dressing, I have to go over to Safeway. I was shopping yesterday afternoon. And for the so at Safeway, I'm in line. And here's my problem with the tabloids. I don't know if it's true. Like, there's a picture of Barbra Streisand on the front page of the Inquirer, and it says Barb's tragic cancer story.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if you buy it, it'd be like Barb's next door neighbor has cancer.
Right. Yep.
And I know that if Barbra Streisand had cancer and was talking about it, you'd have it.
Yes.
Right.
So I feel like I wanted to buy the magazine, but I also did not want to. It's same thing with all of those ladies' magazines, by the way. 10 things he wants you to do to him in bed. I'd like to know what they are. So I could ask, because if she read it, said she might want to do it. But then you get to them, and it's like, talk about, you know, and they're all things women wish men wanted them to do. They're
talk
not
about
really
my the, day.
Yeah. So it's all phony, all of this stuff in the checkout. So anyway, there was Barbara. Then there was – who else was on there?
Well, the Kardashians. That's the thing. They're on
I don't
every
think
cover.
The Kardashians were on there yesterday. They'll sure as heck be on there next
no,
week.
No, I went through a checkout this week, and that's the thing about you don't know what's real because there are completely conflicting headlines side-by-side magazines.
It was Demi Moore is starving herself.
Down to 98 pounds.
95 pounds. Yeah.
She's very thin.
And dropping. And then they took – how celebrities destroy their looks by starving, and they put pictures of Lindsay Lohan and right. someone else down there just right. because they had them in the...
Cha-ching. Yeah. I'll look at that gallery every time.
Do you?
I like to see ugly starving celebrities. Absolutely. I look better than all these people.
But do you buy it?
No. No. And I promise I will never tell you anything that I have not sourced out.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no question with this Kim Kardashian story. Ryan Seacrest has confirmed it in a tweet, so...
Oh.
Well, he does executive produce that show.
Yeah, so
he's responsible for all this crap, by the way.
Does Barbra Streisand have cancer?
No, she's fine.
She's fine.
She's fine.
You're kidding. They showed a picture of her. Boy, she looked bad.
Well, yeah.
She looked like she'd been floating in a river for a few days.
Yeah, that's how she looks now, and she doesn't care. You know why?
Why?
She's Barbra Streisand.
She's Barbra
Streisand.
Streisand, yeah.
What's the word, Pedro?
I do know Lindsay Lohan got some new teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of that in the tabloid.
She's stealing while she was working at the morgue?
Her teeth were jacked up.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs made the news. His sister was talking about, she did the eulogy, and she was talking about his last words, which there's a very cool story about that. And, Steve Jobs' last words were,
whoa, that's a full rainbow. All the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God.
right, it's that, a dump.
All right, that wasn't that.
That's awful.
His words were like that, though. His words were, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, three times.
Yep. And that was a quiet ending after that, and a few hours later, he was gone.
Do you know what Siri said to him? Siri's what? Last words to Steve Jobs?
What?
Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
You guys are
you were a tiger last night, Bob.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, oh, wow,
how'd you
oh,
get
wow.
hold of my phone?
St. Peter has a Zune.
Ouch, you guys are brutal.
Here's the latest Steve Jobs mystery revealed. Did you know that Steve Jobs drove without license plates?
He drove a pretty nice car, too, as I recall.
This has puzzled car enthusiasts for years. How did he get away without driving, with a typical required license plate? It was common knowledge that he would park his Mercedes SL55 AMG, sounds like a good car, in a handicapped spot. Dude has a new liver.
Yeah,
he's earned the handicapped spot. At the Apple Cupertino headquarters. Nothing identified his vehicle other than the tiny barcode behind the rear license plates. Dude, if you're the only car in the entire state of California that doesn't need a license plate, that identifies your car.
Right.
Shh. Anyway, he avoided having a plate, he said, for privacy reasons, but of course his Mercedes was a trademark, and he kept motorizing without one. Anyway, rumors swirled that he had won a special dispensation from California, or that he was just daring the police to stop him. According to a chief technical officer of Entrust, Jobs would actually switch out his silver Mercedes every 6 months with a new identical model. Again, privacy? I'm not sure. For years, there were all these rumors. But the why remains somewhat cloudy. One executive reveals what he says is the real reason, a little-known loophole in California vehicle law that gives owners up to 6 months to get plates of their vehicles. So by switching...
He never had to register.
For 6 months, I don't know.
You'd have temporary tags on the car, would you?
You should, yes.
Yeah, and that's basically what it is, although that particular California loophole is being revised so that it's only going to be 3 months instead of six.
California Law 2.0. Law 4S. we have a couple of weird local stories. Here's this one. I don't have the local one.
I have a weird local story.
All right, you go with it. Maybe it's the same one.
It's about the Occupy protesters. You know what they're going to be doing today? JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon's coming to Seattle on Wednesday. Occupy Seattle's going to be waiting for him. The PI is reporting that he's going to be the keynote speaker at UW's Business Leadership Celebration. And Occupy Seattle is asking people to gather at Westlake Park at 6 p.m. and then march down to the Sheraton where the event's being held. Furthermore, regarding our Occupy Seattle people, professors at Seattle Central Community College are going to be giving lectures to the protesters. When they move down to the campus, a lot of the professors are setting up tents and planning to offer free lessons on topics including why we support Occupy, legislative lobbying, and my personal favorite, the art of the protest sign.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That sounds very cool.
Yeah.
How are they going to do in the winter? That would be one of the
not so good.
Here, I found it. Here's the weird local story. Lake City Domino's managers charged with torching Papa John's. Did you hear about this pizza war?
Yeah, but it's not local.
Wait a minute.
That's a Lake City, Florida.
That happened in Florida.
Bummer.
Obviously.
We have Papa John's and we have Domino's.
And we have Lake City, too.
We have Lake City.
So they burned it up, or did it? Were they successful?
Two Domino's managers committed arson on a Papa John's.
All right, that's coming up.
Competition.
Also, this wonderful headline: girl forced to eat sandwich from trash. Do you agree with the superintendent of schools on this one? We're going to give you a chance.
95.7 Rock.
Greatest hits of all time.
95.7.
Oldies 95.7 is giving you the chance to win $1,000
three times a day.
It's the 3K a day cash money giveaway. Listen weekdays for the cue to call. When you hear it, be the 20th nationwide caller at 877-565-WINS and you'll be $1,000 richer.
Contest times change daily, so listen to Bob Rivers each morning at 7:05 for the contest schedule.
And like us on Facebook for additional reminders. The 3K a day cash money giveaway
from Bob Rivers in the morning
and the greatest hits of all time, 95.7.
There it is. Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
Quest is now CenturyLink. Find your link to what's next at CenturyLink.com.
Some things should just be free, like your bags when you're traveling, airplane meals, and the debit card that comes with your checking account. Luckily, you can still get a free Visa check card and fantastic checking with no hidden fees from Navy Federal Credit Union. And we think you should get other free stuff, like free checks, mobile banking, free web bill pay, free ATMs, and you should be free of monthly debit card fees. Don't pay for what's free. Open your select checking account at NavyFederal.org. It's as easy as a walk in the park. And just as free.
BobRivers.com is hosted by AdHost Data Centers. Free setup and local technical support starting at $9.95 a month.
Last year, Washington voters said no twice to deregulating liquor sales. But Costco didn't listen. They're spending a record $22 million to pass Initiative 1183, including $9 million last week, the largest contribution in state history. That's $16 per voter. More money than any corporation has ever spent in Washington to pass an initiative. The Tacoma News Tribune warns that Costco's attempting to purchase an election and buy a state policy that would pump untold millions into its bottom line. We already said no last year. Don't let Costco buy this election to increase their corporate profits at our expense. Wall Street and big corporations are watching to see whether our democracy is for sale. Get the facts for yourself at protectourcommunities.com. Join the Washington State Council of Firefighters and the Washington State Nurses Association and vote no on Initiative 1183. Paid for by Protect Our Communities.
Tonight, no license, no health permit.
It's been a year that we've been working on this to stop him.
Burgers! Burgers!
So why is he still cooking and serving food to kids?
Uterus to the general public.
Problem solver Tracy Vetter investigates.
We don't want anybody getting sick.
It's not that he doesn't know the law. He's a city councilman.
Don't work for the city and break the law.
Just helping out in the community or putting people at risk.
We got burgers!
Tonight at 11 on Como 4 News, working for you.
I will be merciless.
Some will stop at nothing.
I will ruthlessly use every weapon at my disposal.
For a $250,000 payday.
I will take no prisoners.
The Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
I will take Broadway musicals for 800 Alex.
The top Jeopardy players go head-to-head for $250,000.
What was South Pacific?
Correct.
Yes! Eat it!
Quarterfinals start Wednesday on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy, tonight at 7:30 on Como 4.
Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. Bundle your auto, home, and life policies with American Family, and you could save up to 28%. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
Savings may vary. See your agent for details. American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its subsidiaries. Life insurance underwritten by American Family Life Insurance Company. Home office, Madison, Wisconsin. Your American dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance received the top honor for highest in customer satisfaction with the auto insurance purchase experience among consumer shopping for auto insurance in J.D. Power & Associates 2011 Insurance Shopping Study. Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. Find an agent and get a competitive quote at AmFam.com or call 1-800-MY-AMFAM.
American Family Insurance.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit AmFam.com.
Greetings. I'm Thomas Jefferson. My face is on the nickel.
And I'm Abe Lincoln. I'm on the penny.
As spokespeople for these coins, we want to put in our 2 cents.
6, actually.
Oh, right. And tell you how easy it is to waive the monthly maintenance fee on a U.S. Bank checking account.
It just makes sense.
Well played.
To switch to U.S. Bank and fight for your freedom.
Hear, hear.
Like free U.S. Bank ATM transactions.
Free internet banking.
Free email and text alerts.
And the freedom to receive greater banking discounts and bonuses with a checking package.
High five.
U.S. Bank Easy Checking. Just named Best National Bank Checking by Money Magazine. For more information or to open an account, call 800-720-2265, click usbank.com, or visit any local branch.
Abe, what pray tell is an ATM?
Got me, Tom. What's a text alert?
All of us serving you. U.S. Bank. From Money Magazine, September 2011, copyright 2011, Time Inc. Used under license. Money is a registered trademark of Time Inc. and is used under license. Money and Time Inc. are not affiliated with and do not endorse products or services of U.S. Bank. Fees may apply. Check with your carrier. See banker for complete details on fee waivers. Deposit products offered through U.S. Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
I'll vouch for all that.
Good morning from the State Farm Traffic Center. I'm Ashley Ryan. Fairly quiet out there right now. We do still have slowing northbound 405 I-90 through Bellevue to 520. Eastbound 520 solid at Montlake. And then we do still have an accident as well. Southbound State Route 9 north of 176th. Traffic is brought to you by DeVry University. They're proud to announce the opening of their new center on 33rd Avenue West in Linwood. To learn more about career-focused bachelor's and master's degree programs, visit DeVry.edu. Coming up on the Bob Rivers Show, a girl was forced to eat a sandwich from the trash, and pizza wars are a-brewing.
Halloween. You want to go as a rich person tonight? Just listen today at 10:10 a.m. and 1:10 p.m. with Lori Bradley and 4:10 p.m. with Steve Slayton for your chance to win $1,000 with our 3K a day cash money giveaway. Boo.
Bob Rivers in the morning.
Bob, Spike, and Joe.
And the greatest hits of all time.
All day.
On 95.7.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand. Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
This is a Halloween song now, right?
You bet.
Had nothing to do with Halloween, but...
Werewolves of London?
It says werewolf in it, yes.
And Warren Zevon's dead. That's enough for me. That's spooky.
All right. I just got the weirdest email from Richard Lewis. I'll tell you about it in a second. But first, I promise this stuff. I'm bummed this isn't a local story. Lake City Domino's manager charged with torching Papa John's, but it's Florida. Lake City, Florida. The fire gutted Papa John's pizza. So they arrested Sean Everett Davidson. He was 23, by the way. A Domino's manager can be 23. It's hard for me to think of a manager as anything but, like, much older.
Mm-hmm. Responsible adult.
And they interviewed another Domino's manager, David Sullivan, 22. If there's anything worse than a 23-year-old manager, it's a 22-year-old manager. You trust them. Here's the thing. Granted, you don't trust them building, you know, a Dreamliner. But I'm not going to eat the Dreamliner.
Not today.
That's why I want my pizza people to be a little more responsible.
Well, they obviously have a passion for the product. I mean, they must get some...
They're obviously deranged crooks.
Well, yeah.
that or passion for the product. One of the two. It's a thin line.
Anyway, a motive was the Domino's location he was managing would see an increase of business if Papa John's restaurant was put out of business. So the fire was just discovered at 3 a.m. at Papa John's Pizza on U.S. 90. By the time the blaze had been brought under control, the business was completely gutted. So in the end, of course, Domino's does very well.
They deliver.
They deliver.
30 minutes or less.
It's a competitive business, that pizza.
The other story, girl forced to eat sandwich from trash. You will agree with the superintendent, I think. He's apologized to the mother of a third grader. She was forced to eat a sandwich taken from a trash can. How did this happen? Well, the sandwich was sealed in a plastic bag when it was thrown away. The daughter is 8 years old. The supervisor pulled the sandwich from the trash can and walked the playground where the third grader was and forced her to eat it. some of this is unclear. That it was her daughter's sandwich that she brought to school, and she was trying to throw it away, is what I'm assuming, right?
She brings her lunch to school. She doesn't like the sandwich. She doesn't even open the sandwich. She throws it away.
It's in a plastic bag.
And in a plastic Ziploc bag. She throws it in the garbage without sampling it.
All right. So my question is, and the superintendent did apologize, but how does – what makes the teacher think they have – it's any of their business? Kids could throw away all their food.
Well, this lunchroom teacher, the person watching what happened in the lunchroom, takes the sandwich out of the garbage. Actually, I think goes to another part of the school to find this kid to say,
right,
hey,
walk the playground.
Don't throw away your perfectly good sandwich your mom made you. Eat it.
Now, here's the thing. It doesn't look like the person who did it is going to be fired. The principal, the superintendent, is just apologizing. The mother says the supervisor should be penalized. All they got instead was a memo.
Well, Joe, you worked in a lunchroom. How much waste goes on? You must see a lot of waste.
A lot, but less when I'm on duty.
Yeah, of course.
I set up the sharing table. Set up a spot for that kind of food. If you're gonna,
do they still have the sharing table?
Yeah.
That you set up?
Yeah, definitely. If you're not going to eat something,
that scares me. By the way. I don't want my kid eating stuff packed by some other mother who might be, a woman of...
Hey, where are my pot brownies, man?
Well, yeah. Or she might not be sanitary or whatever.
Well, mostly what you get at the sharing table is the milk the kid didn't drink, the apple that the kid doesn't want, stuff that's kind of self-contained.
Right.
Mostly what you get at the sharing table are the latest virus and flu of the day.
Well, you're going to get that anyway. Nobody puts in like a half-eaten sandwich or something.
Yeah.
But I will say, there's times when you look and you see a kid throwing away a perfectly good ham sandwich or something. It's like... You know, that's it hurts.
I think that says it all.
It hurts.
Dude, this is horrible.
Especially the hour ago, we talked about the guy who, there's people out there without enough food.
Yeah.
To see kids just throwing their food away.
This is a crusade for you.
You tell me that you're going into a trash can and making my kid eat something out of a trash can? On the school playground? You know how cruel third graders are?
Well, but we took care of it. We gave a memo.
A memo.
People have the wrong idea about trash cans. Like,
really?
Yeah.
They're full of trash and junk.
What's your issue, Costanza? Yeah. Tell us.
My wife thinks when something goes in the trash can, it's banished forever.
It is.
Like, you can't be
that's
retrieved.
That's exactly right.
I don't necessarily see that. Okay. If something accidentally winds up in the trash can, hasn't hit, other trash or any bad trash... Sometimes things can be
let me ask you this. How far will you dig down for an item, or does it have to be right on top?
Pretty much on top, depending on the item, of course.
Touching sterile, clean fast food bags is okay.
Yeah, just because something winds up in a can doesn't make it any dirtier than it was out in the
It right does, now. Actually.
Actually,
it's actually just the air
I'm
from
no
the trash
scientist,
can.
But I've
there's
seen a lot of
all sorts of bacteria floating around in there.
Well, but how quickly do you retrieve? I'm not talking. 2 days later, you go in there looking for something.
So
he's a work of art.
Hey, I saw a guy this morning. He would have loved to have found something in the trash can in front of the 7-Eleven when I bought my papers.
And you were in that trash can.
I didn't beat him to
Downtown Joe beat me.
No, I didn't beat him to anything. But he was digging pretty deep, and I bet you he would have been happy to find some kid's sandwich that they threw in there. Perfectly sealed in a plastic bag, sterile and ready for eating.
Yeah, well.
All right.
But I'm not a one that advocates shoving food down kids' throats either,
We got the woman who stabbed her boyfriend for cheating in Monopoly, right? That was last Friday, I think. New Mexico. Laura Chavez stabbed him. Did you do bride lures groom to secret wedding yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's new this morning in New Zealand that happened.
David would always ask Sherry to marry him. One day, she would always say. That day finally arrived when Miss Butler and a small group of her family and friends gathered in secret. And it's called Pollard Park in Blenheim. Where's Blenheim?
It's in New Zealand.
Okay.
Wow.
North Island, if you want to get technical.
Near the dumpster.
So I understand a surprise party, but a surprise wedding. Anyway, she waited for her groom in a white wedding dress. He thought he was coming to a family picnic. He was distracted sent to a fishing trip and done a whole bunch of things up while they got all set up. And they were married by a marriage celebrant named Jenny in a rhododendron garden with the bridesmaid and best man at their side. See, the only thing about this is, this guy better know she's a control freak and he'll never get to make a decision again for the rest of his life.
And I'm suspicious that he, quote, always wanted to be married. I mean, that's right. the angle they wrote. Or was he dodging?
Yeah.
And she kind of just put All right. him on the spot.
And before I get to my Richard Lewis thing, and the Richard Lewis show is doing very well, by the way, but I'll tell you about that in a second. A state trooper arrested another state, well, as a Miami police officer. A trooper chases down a cop driving 120 miles per hour. This is dashboard camera footage.
Put your hands out that window right now!
Gun drawn and commands firing.
Put your hands out the window!
An FHP trooper pulls over a Miami police officer.
Oh, yeah, I'm serious!
Frisks him, cuffs him, and carts him to her cruiser. And during all of this, the Miami officer sounds just as shocked as she is mad.
Oh my God, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this at all.
It began unbelievably just minutes before, with his police cruiser seen here passing by the trooper like she's standing still.
It is a Miami police.
She chases him, lights flashing, engine screaming. As she describes him weaving in and out of lanes, speeding up and slowing down at speeds topping 120 miles an hour, until both finally come to a tense stop 4 minutes 57 seconds later.
Put your hands out the
window! The Miami officer quickly complies. Quickly.
All right, you can back that off now. So the deal was, you know, he's just a cop. He just thinks that he can go as fast as he wants. He says he didn't see her. Siren, blue lights flashing.
Well, at 120 miles an hour, you keep your eyes forward.
You know, when you're going that fast, safety is your watchword.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I saw a cop yesterday doing the blatant, got to get home for dinner. Speed.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're a cop, you get to go as fast as you want, right?
I think so. Yeah. This was a motorcycle cop after the ball game. We were on the I-90 bridge and doing faster than we should, and he went blasting by. He was doing 80 plus on the bridge on a motorcycle.
Cop doing 80 plus?
Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe he's going to Mercer Island and he's going to flip a U-ey. Like, if there's a crime in Leschi, sometimes it's easier to, you know, cross the bridge, flip around, come back.
Right.
He keeps on going.
And so a few minutes later, you drove by a Starbucks, and there he was. Right?
No. Last I saw him, he was heading north on 405 towards Bellevue.
For all you know, he's
Bellevue.
On his way to an important
right.
Emergency.
Yeah. I think he was beating the rain. I really do. Yeah. I think he was done with his overtime and beating the rain.
We have a great text messenger listening from Florida who wrote with regards to the Domino's burning down Papa John's pizza. Mm-hmm. Violent pizza wars, we call that casual occurrences here in Florida and not local news. And then with regards to the cop chasing cop, casual Florida occurrence as well. Just chiming in. None of this is a big deal in Florida.
All right. So listen, I got to tell you a little bit about our World Vision concert. Our special Christmas show, we added a date for Thursday, December 15th, with Richard Lewis. And we've had Richard on a couple of times. That first show sold out before it could even be available to the general public. The second show is doing very, very well. And I continue to be amazed by Richard. I need to actually watch more Curb Your Enthusiasm because I saw a couple of shows. And I went like, wow, how did I miss this? This is one of the most creative, clever bits of improv I have ever seen. And then I got to read his book because he wrote a book about getting sober, and today is my 22nd birthday for being sober. It was Halloween 1989 was when I had my last drink. I can even tell you what it was.
What was it?
It was nothing spectacular. Are you trying to lure me back?
Oh, we're just taking you back to
a little picture for you.
It was a Rainier Light, the white cans. Remember the light cans?
That was your last drink?
That was my last drink.
Damn.
And I did not know it was my last drink. I did know that I was crazy and that I was having some kind of a breakdown, but I did not know that that was my last drink. I just remember drinking it and going, literally, what's so special about this? And
not much.
They're out of business, right?
No. They're still around barely.
Yeah.
That was the beer of my youth. Don't get me wrong.
It is the beer of your youth.
Yeah, I drink a lot of Rainier.
Anyway, I remember going, what's so special about this? And, you know, this is annoying getting a slight buzz. I don't like this buzz. But it was nutty. It was nothing I hadn't thought a million times before and then gone right back out and searched for a bottom. But anyway... So Richard Lewis, to me, is kind of a cool guy because he's sober, too, and because he's written a book about it, and he's one of these – he's a comic that takes, you know, his psychoses, which we all have, by the way, but he brings them to the forefront. And his comedy is never about attacking other people. It's always about self-flagellation for all of his guilt and feelings that he has. And so just to get to know him, even as on a periphery – you know, have him on for a couple of pretty cool interviews and have him, like, say encouraging words to my son. And in the occasional email, it's like, oh, I got an email from Richard Lewis. That's cool. And, you know, I always feel like – I never feel like I'm going to be friends with a celebrity, a big celebrity, because I'm a teeny celebrity and I know how busy you get. And, you know, so when he emails me, I think, well, I'll just give him a brief response and answer his question.
Okay.
And it was, you know, when we did the first interview, he was like, I don't know, I was kind of half asleep. How was the interview? And I said, oh, it was loose, but it was very good. And then the second time he came on, he was really wide awake and we told great stories. And I thanked him and said, nice interview. And he gave me a nice compliment for my hosting abilities. And I said, hey, thanks. That means a lot to me. But even so, I just, you know, I don't want to write some long letter to Richard Lewis by email. So this weekend, I thought... He seemed so concerned. I mean, he actually went on the air and said, if this World Vision show, December 15th, doesn't sell out, I will quit the business. I will leave comedy. Remember when he did that? And it sounded serious until he said, I've also been known to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But what I got out of it was that he really wanted the charity angle. He wanted to raise the money for World Vision. Which I thought was very nice.
He's willing to lie to do it. I like that.
And so I thought, oh, we did really well. We sold pretty close to half in just a couple days, which for the second show is phenomenal. And so I wrote him a little note because the first time when I wrote the note that said, hey, we sold out before it was on sale to the public, he seemed really happy. So, but I don't want to bug the guy. But I wrote him a short note. And he wrote back, like, always texting, mm-hmm. No capitals. Like I figure a busy celebrity wouldn't have time to, you know, to capitalize.
No time to press you.
That's right.
Come on.
And he wrote back and he said something like, that's good, right? Or it could have been, that's good, right? So I didn't know whether I needed to reply to him. Because I also have my own neuroses and insecurities, right?
Yeah.
Right? Or right?
Right.
See, and so Lisa was like watching me sit in the chair Saturday. She goes, what are you doing? And I said, I'm deciding whether or not I need to write back to Richard Lewis. And I did that for like 2 hours. I had a cup of tea and I thought about, well, what would I say?
So was it a lack of punctuation that threw you around the bend?
It totally did. Well, that and
my... Have you seen the email that goes around, hey, let's eat, comma, yeah. Grandma, or hey, let's eat, Grandma, period.
Yeah, exactly.
Punctuation's everything.
It's true in texting, by the way. You never know what the... You get less information, I should say, about the true meaning of whatever someone's sending. So anyway, I thought – I started to write something like, yeah, that's great for a second show. And I started to write this huge long thing and I'm thinking like, no, no, no. I need to be brief.
You and he are twin sons of different mothers. You're as worked up and weirded out as he is.
Yeah. I am psychotic.
You are
– So I'm thinking like I don't want to, you know – I mean he's a big – he's one of the legendary comedians of all time. So I wrote back something like
I apologize if this response is bothering you.
I thought, no. Actually, well, I
yes,
thought
it
about
is right.
that. At the risk of being buttering you up and being an ass kisser, I think this is kick ass and I can't wait to see you. Yeah, I thought about doing all that.
Hope this finds you well.
But instead, I thought, well, my first message was about 13 words. His second message was about 6. So I need to do about half as many words to gradually end it so he doesn't feel like I'm a pest.
So you wrote?
I said, yup.
Good.
Yup.
And then he wrote back. And he said,
"Yep, what?"
He said, "Let me know if I can help." He's something like, "I really want to sell this out for World Vision."
What a guy.
Like, he actually was really caring, and I'm like, "I'm afraid to talk to a celebrity."
Yep.
So I so he said, "Let me know and we'll come back on the radio." And I've got it. And he started telling me, "I got a busy schedule this week, and I'm doing that." And he was having a conversation. And of course, I wouldn't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member. So I was like, I answered briefly. And then he just emailed me 10 minutes ago, Richard Lewis
did. Good Lord.
I swear to God. And the email says, "If your fans don't quickly sell out the charity gig, I might kill myself." Then, P.S., it is up to my shrink.
And that, you know, he's probably sitting there on the Ticketmaster website checking. Oh my you know, Lord. Is it sold out yet? Is it sold out? Oh my gosh, there's still six tickets left.
I
know.
Might kill myself.
So here's what's cool about this. First off, Joe is pointing out Richard Lewis does not do a lot of shows. I mean, he does big shows at monstrous Las Vegas, Atlantic City.
Well, not even, between our show, there's only one stop, and that's Broadway. He's doing a four-night run on Broadway in New York, and he's doing our show.
So he'll be four nights on Broadway, and then he comes out for World Vision on a Thursday night to see us all warmed up. And I get the sense there's things going on. He's got like a spread in paper. Not a spread, like he takes off his clothes in Playboy, but he's got a... Oh, something he was telling me he's doing something in Playboy.
He's doing like 20 questions or something?
In January. And wow. I have a feeling that Richard Lewis is about to get, you know, he's smart. He's like Bruce Springsteen. You know, Bruce didn't like play 12 nights a week all year round. You know, it's like the Pink Floyd. They didn't put out an album every 6 months. So I think that this is going to be very special. First off, for some reason he cares. And so I'm just letting you know that if he kills himself, he would be the second comic.
Oh, dude.
May Richard Jenny live in peace.
May Richard Jenny rest in peace. Richard Jenny did kill himself, not because of us.
Not because of poor ticket sales. Let's make that clear.
And this man,
you can't be sure of that.
Yes, I can.
And Richard did promise to let his therapist make the final decision. So I think he's okay.
Well, I don't want him to commit Harry Carey, but there are still some tickets left, and even some good ones and some very
cheapy
affordable ones.
Yeah. Good ones and affordable ones. So go to Ticketmaster today, okay?
Ticketmaster.com.
I don't want this. You don't want this on your on your shoulders. If it happens, you can say, "I bought my tickets."
Right. Yeah. I did what I could.
All right.
We're both going to hell.
And Richard Lewis emailed me, and I don't know what to how to answer this.
What do I say? Don't do it.
I am looking forward to meeting him. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. It's 9:55. We need a last word. I'm just going to point to someone.
Guilt.
Bob Rivers in the morning.
Bob, Spike, and Joe.
And the greatest hits of all time.
All day.
On 95.7.
Quick, what can you make for dinner that's healthy, locally produced, and something your whole family will love? The answer is as close as your neighborhood QFC, where you'll find all kinds of Northwest-grown favorites, like Draper Valley Chicken. This week only, Draper Valley boneless, skinless chicken breasts are buy one, get one free. Speaking of locally grown, QFC has a great selection of Northwest Gala apples arriving fresh, and you can get 10 pounds for just $10. Of course, Halloween is just around the corner, and if you're hosting a party, we've got you covered with a great selection of party trays in the deli, fun treats in the bakery, and all your favorite candy. And you won't want to miss this incredible buy on soft drinks. Right now, selected 12-pack cans or 6-pack bottles of Coke, Pepsi, or 7-Up are 3 for just $10. All prices with Advantage Card. QFC. You know it's going to be good.
Protect yourself and your family with a flu shot from QFC. It's just $25 and there's no appointment necessary. See your QFC pharmacist today for details.
When it comes to vehicle safety, having poor visibility is a risk not worth taking. Whether you have a road grime covered windshield, worn wiper blades that smear, or dim headlights that need replaced, a quick visit to your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store can help you see clearly and safely no matter what you drive. You'll find thousands of brand name parts in stock, guaranteed low prices, and professional parts people to help you get the job done right.
Improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today and save on Bosch Icon wiper blades. Buy one, get the second half off after mail-in rebate. These premium blades install in one simple step, and their quiet glide finish ensures clear vision in any weather. Bosch Icon Wiper Blades. Buy one, get the second half off after mail-in rebate at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Scrambled eggs, fried eggs, poached eggs, hard-boiled eggs. They all taste just a little better when they come from your own backyard.
Pemco Insurance presents Northwest Profile No. 6. Urban Chicken Farmer.
Nestled in her comfortable city home, this Northwest original enjoys the best of both worlds. Metropolitan and country, urban and rural, paved streets and fresh eggs. Sure, most of her dog and cat-loving friends will razz her about having chickens for pets, but when was the last time a golden retriever ever made breakfast? Urban Chicken Farmer, you're one of us. And you deserve an insurance company that's always sunny side up. A mutual company that works for Northwest policyholders instead of Wall Street. Call 1-800-GO-PEMCO, see your local Pemco agent, or visit Pemco.com. Pemco, we're a lot like you, a little different. Pemco Mutual Insurance Company, Seattle, Washington.
This holiday, give Dragon Speech Recognition Software the gift that will have everyone talking. Create documents, email, blog, update Facebook, and search the web simply by talking. Dragon from Nuance, available at Amazon.com, Best Buy, Staples, or GetDragon.com.
The Albert Lee Appliance Warehouse Sale. Price tags that mean if you don't buy it now, the person behind you will. Your last chance of the year to pick up steals on Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Janair, GE, Electrolux, GE Profile, Miele, and Viking. Screaming deals on scratch and dents, clearance, and overstocked items. Financing available with rebates up to $2,500. It all happens Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. Items restocked on Sunday at the Albert Lee Warehouse in Ballard. We don't just dabble. We are appliances.
Win your share of $15,000 in screaming cash every Tuesday in October with a chance to win the grand prize of $5,000 at Coolcedar Creek Casino on I-5 at exit 199 West, where winners play.
I'm Amy Brooks. I work on the food team at Panera Bread, and it's my job to make sure your lunch break is a tasty one. My favorite hot sandwich right now has got to be our new roasted turkey artichoke panini. We've added new roasted turkey, sliced thick so it's really tender and juicy, and perfected our creamy artichoke parmesan spread. All that, plus roasted red peppers and fresh baby spinach, grilled hot on our Asiago focaccia. And add some great flavor to your next meeting with Panera Catering. Panera Bread, make today better.
At Boeing, we build the best airplanes in the world, and we couldn't do it without our dedicated workforce. I'm Ross Bogue, Manufacturing Vice President for Boeing.
And I'm Jim Bearden. I represent aerospace machinists who manufacture airplanes for Boeing. We oppose Initiative 1125.
1125 will hurt Washington's economy. By delaying or canceling the transportation improvements we rely on to move Boeing's goods and products to market.
Last year, Boeing drivers logged more than 8.5 million miles on Washington roads. We count on safe roads to get to and from work. But 1125 will stall critical road safety improvements.
And it will increase the cost of transportation projects by 18%.
That's why the Boeing Company and aerospace machinists strongly oppose Initiative 1125.
We're voting no.
And we urge you to do the same. Because if 1125 passes,
Washington's economy will pay the price.
Paid for by the Boeing Company.
Good morning from the State Farm Traffic Center. I'm Ashley Ryan. Looks like we do have a...